Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hey, about Christmas, we've looked at what Satan might say about Christmas, what angels would say about Christmas, and what Jesus might say about Christmas. So today I'm going to conclude with what Santa might say about Christmas. The legend of jolly old Saint Nick coming down each chimney on Christmas Eve night began with a real person, a Christian pastor who lived many centuries ago. He lived in the early part of the 4th century B.C., so the first couple decades of the year 300. He was the bishop of the church at Myra, which was a city on the southern coast of Asia Minor, which today we would know that nation as Turkey. Tradition says that St. Nicholas was put into prison for his faith in Christ. Persecution was rampant at that particular time under Roman Emperor Diocletian. It was very widespread in the empire and very harsh. But he was later released from prison by the new emperor, Constantine, who made Christianity the official religion of the empire in 325. This bishop was known and had a reputation for generosity, compassion, and gift-giving, especially to children. Now, his transformation into Santa Claus began in Germany in Protestant churches. They knew him as Kris Kringle, a derivative of Christ Kindle or Christ Child. It was Dutch settlers to New York City that introduced the legend to America. They called him Saint or Sint Nicolaus or Center Claus, which sounds a lot like Santa Claus, doesn't it? But the modern day conception of Santa with a red suit and reindeer and a sleigh originated in the 1800s by the stories of Washington Irving and the cartoons of Thomas Nast, as well as the 1822 poem by Clement Moore, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." But I'm wondering if the real St. Nicholas of the early 300s of the modern era, if he were here today, what might he say to us about Christmas? I think the first thing he would say is, folks, focus on what's important. Now, many American Christian homes celebrate two holidays on December 25th, Christ's birth and Christmas. And we oftentimes combine the two into one, although the commercial holiday really doesn't have anything to do with Christ's birth. Like everyone else, we kind of focus on the shopping end of the holiday, starting maybe in November or early December doing our Christmas shopping, or we wait till Christmas Eve. And we actually become stressed out over what we're going to buy everyone. But remember, the wise men didn't give gifts to each other. They gave them to Jesus. So we send our cards, we decorate our homes on the inside and outside, risking life and limb, climbing up ladders to hang lights from the roof. And then we start to get tired of the rat race and we become ready for it to all be over with. We overeat, we stay up too late, and generally make ourselves sick and tired. And folks, that's Christmas. But Americans who celebrate Christ's birth, for them, is something different. And I hate to break the bad news to you, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. You probably know that. And I'm not going to get into all the details about that. I'm convinced he was born in the fall of the year, maybe even September 11th, but we'll save those details for another time. Y'all remember the Dr. Seuss classic, How the Grinch Stole Christmas? The Grinch steals the presents, food, and decorations of the inhabitants of Whoville. And he thought by doing that he would stop Christmas. Watching from above, he saw an amazing thing happening. Christmas came that morning, and all the people came together and enjoyed each other. What he had done only was to steal the commercial holiday. So I think that's a lesson to all of us, that we Christians have to make a concerted effort to not confuse the two. We have to keep the focus of our attention on Christ the Savior, who came into this world born of a virgin. If you did not get one Christmas card or one gift this holiday season, you would probably be sad, but really you would be okay because you have Christ in your heart. And that's really what it's all about. He came into the world to live in our hearts, and you can celebrate His birth with all your heart, presents or not. So I think Santa might shake his head at us and all our scurrying around and gift buying and say, don't miss the real meaning of Christmas in all your busyness. Be with Jesus. I think he would read Colossians 3:1-2 to us. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. I think he might also say, prioritize your faith. Now, some Christian parents work pretty hard to make the modern day Santa real for their kids. They really want them to believe in him. And I understand that. Because what they want for their children is wholesomeness and kindness and gift-giving. Now, Kathy and I never told our kids about Santa Claus. We didn't say, oh, he's real and we really want you to believe in him. We just didn't talk about him at all. Even though we know he was a real historical person based on that. But I'm talking about the modern rendition. I always supposed if kids grew up as adults believing in Santa Claus, then they had real problems. Some homes, Christian homes, the parents put the presents under the tree on Christmas Eve, and the kids set out a glass of milk and cookies, and the kids wake up earlier than normal on Christmas morning and find now presents under the tree and an empty cup and plate, and that's all fun stuff, right? But let me ask you this, are you working just as hard to make Jesus real to your children? It takes a lot of faith, really, to believe in Santa Claus. It really does. I'm going to read something from an engineer that he tried to figure this out. There are approximately 2 billion children in the world. However, since Santa doesn't visit children of Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, Jehovah Witness, or Buddhist religions, this reduces the workload for Christmas night to 15% of the total, or 378 million children. At an average rate of 3.5 children per household, that's over the world, folks, that comes to 108 million homes, presuming there are at least one good child in each home. Santa has about 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth, assuming Santa travels east to west. This works out to 967.7 visits per second. That is to say, for each household with a good child, Santa has around 1/1000th of a second to park the sleigh, hop out, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the presents, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, jump into the sleigh, and get onto the next house. 1/1000th of a second he has. Assuming that each of these 108 million stops is evenly distributed around the earth, we are now talking about 0.78 miles per household, a trip of 75.5 million miles. Not counting bathroom stops or breaks. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. For purposes of comparison, the fastest man-made vehicle, the Ulysses space probe, moves at only 27.4 miles per second. And a conventional reindeer can run about 15 miles an hour. The payload of the sleigh adds another interesting element. Assuming that each child has nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, the sleigh is carrying over 500,000 tons, not counting Santa himself. On land, a conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds. Even granting that the flying reindeer could pull 10 times the normal amount, Santa would need 360,000 reindeer to pull the load. The number of reindeer increases the load even more, about another 54,000 tons, making the load of Santa's sleigh and reindeer roughly 7 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth ship. How would you like that sitting on your roof? 600,000 tons traveling at 650,000 miles per second creates enormous air resistance, which would heat up the reindeer in the same fashion as a spaceship re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. The lead pair of reindeer would absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per each second. In other words, they would burst into flames almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and creating a deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team would be vaporized within 4.26 thousandth of a second, or right about the time Santa reached the fifth house of his trip. Not that it matters, since Santa, as a result of the accelerating from a dead stop to 650 miles per second in 1/1000th of a second, would be subjected to centrifugal forces of 17,500 G's. A 250-pound Santa would be pinned to the back of the sleigh by 4,315,000 pounds of force, instantly crushing his bones and organs and reducing him to a quivering blob of pink goo. So you see, it's kind of hard for me to believe in the modern-day Santa. And it takes a lot of faith. I don't have that much faith. So, on Monday through Saturday, are you teaching your children about the reality of the real Jesus? A man who lived historically, it's a proven fact. The God-man who died and was raised from the dead and is alive. Santa may read Romans 10:17 to us. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. While I don't have enough faith to believe in the real modern day Santa, I do have enough faith to believe in the real Jesus. So, folks, adults, parents, if you're in the Word and you get your children in the Word, their faith will grow. What's the third thing Santa might say, the real Saint Nicholas? He might say, how's your giving? What do we spend on Christmas this year? In gifts, food, cards, travel, the whole shebang. 1/3 of Americans say they will spend $1,000 on Christmas this year. One lady said she spent over $3,000, and many will spend more than that. Our small adult family, when we just had adults, now we have grandchildren, it's a different deal. We opted out of gift giving on many Christmases. But what do we give to the Lord? Is it just as abundant? How about to the poor? Or to a group of people, maybe in Africa, to a village that doesn't have a well? Wouldn't that be a neat thing, a neat Christmas, for them to get clean drinking water? How about to persecuted Christians all around the world? Maybe to your church. Tyler Perry once went to his local Walmart and paid off all the layaway charges of everyone. When God gets a hold of you, you'll want to give your time and treasure and talents. It's a natural byproduct of Christ who lives in you. We enjoy the looks on the faces of our children and grandchildren when they open their presents. But what about the Lord's face when you give something to Him? I think Santa might read this verse to us. 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? What's one more thing Santa might say? Are you following Jesus? Why do children love Santa so much? Because they get gifts from him. But what does any child or adult, for that matter, have to do for Santa? There is something you have to do. There's a requirement. You have to be good. And Jesus' gifts to us are free. And we love Him because of what He's done for us, not because we've been good enough. But of course there's a cost. Grace is free, but it isn't cheap. The cost was the cross. That He went to the cross for each and every one of us. But I also like the part of our responsibility as well. When King David wanted to build an altar to worship the Lord, and he wanted a particular spot where he would worship Him, that land was owned by somebody else. And so when the landowner realized that the king wanted that land, he offered it free to him. But King David said that he could not offer a sacrifice to the Lord which cost him nothing. So Santa might remind us of Luke 14:27, which says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So I have to follow Jesus. I have to obey Him because He's my Lord. Imagine the Christmas story going this way. And there were, in the same country, children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, Santa Claus came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And Santa said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people who can afford them. For unto you will be given great feasts of turkey, dressing, and cake, and many presents. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the presents wrapped in bright paper, lined beneath the tree, adorned in tinsel, colored balls and lights. And suddenly there will be with you a great multitude of relatives and friends praising you and saying, 'Thank you so much. It was just what I wanted.'" I'm glad it didn't happen that way. It happened more like this. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" And then Linus would say, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Is this baby born of a virgin your Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Savior today? Santa's not here, but the Holy Spirit is. And perhaps He's nudging your heart to repent and turn to Jesus as your Savior. To open your heart to Him and believe on Him." As we close in prayer, I'm just going to give you an opportunity right where you're sitting there, quietly, if you need to make that commitment of your life, surrendering your will to Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who died on the cross for you because of God's great love. Lord, if your Holy Spirit is dealing with any human heart in this place this morning, I pray that right now, just a simple prayer of, "Forgive my sin. I know I've sinned against you. I've gone my own way, done my own thing. But I repent of that. I turn from it. And I accept, I receive the free gift of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I believe, I put my faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. Come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life." Lord, I pray that if anyone prayed that simple prayer today, that you would do that spiritual work that only you can do, the work of the Holy Spirit, changing a human heart, coming to dwell inside us. Thank you so much for coming, Jesus. We could not have done this on our own by being good enough, but you were good enough, and you paid the price. Thank you that we can celebrate you this season, because that's what it's all about. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.